Our New Testament reading is from the letter to the Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the first two verses. Hear the word of God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Kathy and I have been looking back 20 years ago. Hard to believe that we've been here 20 years, and we're so grateful to you for that remembrance last Sunday. And I was remembering putting pictures up in the office, the new office, 20 years ago, and coming to one photo that was taken by my grandmother in Alaska, a place that both of us had been in our travels. And in this photo, there was a glacier rising out of the water with icebergs in the foreground, surrounded by the thick mist that swirled in and out of the frame. I had inherited this from my grandmother when she had died in a car crash 3 years earlier. Before I hung the photograph on the wall, I flipped it over one more time to read her handwritten inscription on the back. "Save for Greg," it said, and then, in a darker pen and underlined for emphasis, it said, "Dreams." Like a lightning bolt, it hit me. I suddenly realized why she had given me this photograph. It didn't have anything to do with the fact that we'd both been to Alaska. It was because the room that my grandmother would stay in when she'd come to visit was my room, and I had a poster on my wall of a something similar scene, a misty fjord in New Zealand. But on the bottom of it, it had the inscription that's from Edgar Allan Poe, "All we ever see or seem is but a dream within a dream." The poster was titled, of course, "Dreams." It was amazing. It was almost like my grandmother just suddenly sent me a message again. It was eerie, but it wasn't disturbing. Despite the fact that my grandmother is no longer here, it was a moment of communication between us. Despite her absence, it was one more affirmation that a precious relationship does not end at the grave. The gospel truth that love is stronger than death. It was a moment, if you will, of communion. The Apostles' Creed, which many of us have memorized, has that phrase at the end, "I believe in the communion of saints." The communion of saints. Not many of us think of ourselves as saints, but in the New Testament, all of God's people are considered saints, not just the holy ones. With all of our failures and shortcomings, you're a saint, I'm a saint, we all are. And the communion of saints refers to the ongoing fellowship that people of faith share with one another, living and dead. Since the beginning of the church, Christians have affirmed that every time we gather at the Lord's table and break the bread and celebrate the presence of the resurrected Christ among us, that we take that communion with one another who gather, that we take that communion in fellowship with all of God's people all around the world, but also that we take that communion in fellowship with all of God's people who are with God in heaven, at some heavenly banquet table, at the great feast that comes at the end of time. Somehow each communion is a foretaste, a beginning of that great feast. Now the communion of saints is what the author of the letter to the Hebrews is talking about when he says, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And he goes on to list some of them. Some of those who have gone before him in the faith, Abraham and Jacob, Moses, Rahab, and many, many others who have trusted the promises of God. For us, that cloud of witnesses will include those people, those biblical figures, but it also includes the people whom we have known and loved. People who have opened our eyes to the presence of God, perhaps people have opened our eyes to the goodness of life and are now sitting at that heavenly table. Some of them lived long and happy lives. Some of them did not. Some of them came to be with the Lord too soon. Some we will name today with our lips. Some you will name today in your hearts. But they are all witnesses to us. A cloud of witnesses, because they've told us something about who God is, something about what love is, something about how precious life is. And their influence continues. The Broadway musical, Into the Woods, is a wonderful weaving together of a dozen fairy tales. And in that musical, one of the central characters, the baker, encounters his father in the forest, his father who has died several scenes before. The baker looks at his father and he says, "I thought you were dead." The father answers, "Not completely." And the audience laughs, and then we all stop laughing because we realized how true that is. No one is completely gone. Though the voices of our saints have been stilled, their voices still speak, and we still listen. But we're talking about more than just memory here. If all we're claiming was the capacity of our loved ones to live on in our memory, then what a pitiful affirmation that would be. Our faith is not in our capacity to remember. Our faith is not in the indestructible human spirit. Our faith is not even in the immortality of the soul. Instead, our faith is in the power of God. The power of God who raised Christ from the dead. And so the writer of the letter to the Hebrews urges us to look toward Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, he says. Jesus who was raised from the dead by God, Jesus who promised that we too would share in a resurrection. And the sign of that, is the presence of the living Christ in the lives of those who loved him. And that same presence is known in the lives of those who love him still. This is the good news of the gospel, that the last word is not death. The last word is life. Life everlasting, life abundant, life shared with God and with God's people. So our faith is not in the invincibility of the human spirit, as amazing as the human spirit can often be. But our faith is in the life-giving love of God, who will not surrender us even to death. We know, though, this doesn't answer all of our questions. It's good news, but it doesn't solve everything. We wonder why the good die young. We wonder why so often there's no justice. And I don't have great answers to those questions either. Except to say this, that when the letter to the Hebrews calls Jesus the perfecter of our faith, that means that Jesus is the one who in the end will make us whole, will right the wrongs of this world, will bring righteousness to those who have suffered unjustly, the one who will make all things whole again, all people whole. I take that to mean that in the aftermath, even of tragedy and despair, somehow Christ will make it right. Somehow Christ will bring wholeness and healing both for those saints whose lives have been cut short, for those who have been left behind. Christ will make it so. I don't claim to understand exactly how it will happen, but I believe it, and I believe the sign of that truth are in moments like the photograph where I flipped it over and realized there was a message there for my grandmother who lives still. Moments I've heard many of you describe where you feel a connection, a communion with those who have gone before us. Moments that I used to sort of wonder about, but now the older I get, the more I believe they are indeed signs to us of a life that goes beyond this life. And of course, the greatest sign is the one we share today. in the breaking of the bread and the pouring of the cup, in the experiencing of the living Christ among us even now. Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the letter to the Hebrews tells us, let us run with perseverance the race that is before us. Those who have gone before us encourage us to move forward into a future that is uncertain, always uncertain because we never know what the future holds, but a future that is ultimately secure because we know who holds the future. So because, and in the presence of this cloud of witnesses, some of whose names you hold in your hand, some of whose names are written on your hearts, we run this race. We run it with its uncertainties. We run it with its inevitable end. In the sure and certain company of the communion of saints, we embrace life, all the while keeping our eyes on Jesus, the perfecter of our faith. Frederick Buechner wrote a novel once about an English saint named Godric, who lived quite a challenging life in his day. And as he came to the end of his life, he looked back at the good and wonderful things that had happened to him, but also the tragic and sorrowful things that had happened to him. He looked back, and as a whole, he said, you know, all the death that ever was, sat next to life, could scarcely fill a cup. Let us run the race knowing that. That all the death that ever was can scarcely fill a cup. Pray with me. Lord, you who are our source of purpose in life and our hope in death, we praise you for the ties that bind us to those who have gone before us. And we're grateful for the assurance that the end of their journey with us does not spell the end of their journey with you, that their influence on us is not buried with them, that in ways they never would have guessed and we never could have planned, they continue to guide us, to encourage us, and in some way, unfathomable way, to even walk this journey with us until that day of glad reunion in the life to come. We pray in the name of Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, our risen Lord. And let all God's people say, Amen.